And MDV.
Hey.
I'm going to turn up the bass in your voice.
Oh, no. No more. You want more bass?
I want more bass.
You want more bass?
I'm going to turn up the lisp. Boom.
Hey, yeah, turn that up. I have a lisp, too. I know. The bass lisp. That's a terrible combo.
No, it's not. It sounds awesome.
Bass, boost, lift, bass, 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 bass,
bass, bass, make the hi-hats more lispy.
That hurts. Anyway,
fabulous. That's the Dalavel shuffle.
Yes, it is.
I am Philip.
I'm Matt.
First, we'll have a little chat,
then put on our ring brothers.
Now it's time for Next at Bats.
We're here today with Mike Dalavel. Mike Dalavel is the producer of the show Monsters of Improv over at Honey. Hey, Mike, how are you doing?
Well, hi, Matt. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Just so I don't forget this, because it's easy to do. As always, I'm here today with...
the easily forgettable Philip Simonet.
Not true.
And the always memorable host is...
Matthew McLeod. Aww. I'm not that memorable, Philip. I mean, I'm just as forgettable as you are.
Okay. Aww, you guys. I've been thinking about you for like 2 weeks.
Aww.
I couldn't forget you.
Oh.
Thanks, so Mike.
I
just couldn't...
You know. So I got under your head.
You did. Feels weird.
Okay. I'll just wait here. Okay.
Now, but do you want to prepare an extra creepy Phillips Corner just because Mike's here by himself and
unprotected? You know. There's no one to guard his body.
Right. We're going to dub this Phillips Corner unprotected.
Beautiful.
Love it.
So, Mike, you started Monsters of Improv a little over a year ago. And
yeah, actually, it'll be 2 years in July.
Oh, my God. Is it really 2 years
already?
Yeah,
July. It's a two-year anniversary show.
Holy shit.
That's what I said. It's unbelievable it's gone this long.
It seems... it doesn't...
Right? I know.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's unbelievable that it's gone this long. It's been an incredibly successful show.
Yeah.
But one of the reasons that Philip and I wanted to have you on the show now is that there's been like an explosion of indie shows recently past like just few months, but really 6 months. In the Twin Cities area, for a long time, the improv shows have been taking place at Brave New Workshop for years and years and years. And then Huge Theater opened up about 4.5 years ago.
Right.
And so for quite a while, shows were only... people thought that those were the only places you could perform.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you started Monsters of Improv... people were like, wait, what?
yeah.
I mean, there's this whole generation, generations of improvisers that for years, all they had to hustle to find their own performance spaces. Mm-hmm. And so when you came along and did this, this was new to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Do you want to explain kind of what your impetus was for starting Monsters of Improv? And and kind of what the initial reaction was.
Sure. The reasoning was completely selfish, honestly. It was it really was. It was that I think I had done a run, maybe my first run at Huge Theater with Sensitive Men way long ago.
Mm-hmm. And the legendary
Sensitive Men, I guess. And
hey, they did episode number 3.
They did. That's true. And... you know, Huge Theater only has so many slots.
Yeah.
Let's face it. Mm-hmm. And Brave New Workshop was, they have the performance track and they have the shows and, and there's not a lot beyond that.
Right.
At least, especially at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a matter of wanting to perform somewhere and seeing where there were open venues. And what I did is I looked around, I contacted Honey, which I had heard was a good venue for a lot of different things, and literally booked it all by email. Everything was done by email.
Really?
With the I think he's the director.
Mm-hmm.
And his name's John Provenzano.
So you still haven't met.
Yes, he's still in the series. He's just a little message in my inbox once in a while.
It's just an email box.
Yeah. I call him John.
He's actually 8?
Yes, exactly. But we discussed everything by email, and I finally got to go look at the venue, and it's a very strange venue. It's dark, and it's a dungeon. And it's wonderful. It's punk rock.
It is.
It's so great.
I was going to say a lot of improvisers, including myself, who I have performed there, will equate it to like the punk rock club compared to a like First Avenue or something like that.
Right. It's Yeah, it's an interesting venue because you have to work hard at it. It's if you go in there with a low energy, your show is going to suck.
Yeah, you're going to get swallowed.
It's this weird. It just encompasses you, and you have to take ownership right away or it's over.
Right.
I mean, I've seen some fantastic groups go in there. It's not that they have a bad show, but you can just tell they're struggling.
Yeah.
And then there's shows. I can even say personally, there's shows that I get done with, and it's just, it feels like I got stabbed. Sure. Like what happened? It's just, it's hard. It's a hard place. It's a wonderful place if you can fight through it. I think that's what makes it interesting. Even like Ferrari McSpeedy, Mike Fotis talks about how great a shows he has there, and he does. And I think he's a perfect example of somebody who's able to fight through it, and he's just got that energy anyway. Mm-hmm. But it's a fun place to play.
Well, it's a fun place to see shows. I think because of that reason, like the stage is challenging to begin with. Mm-hmm. The seats aren't directly on the stage. The stage does not offer you like, hey, everybody, look at me. Mm-hmm. People are eating and drinking if they want to be.
Right. There's water rushing through different pipes.
Yeah, different pipes. The place. The bathroom is actually like you have to walk past the stage, so that's more motion you have to deal with. There's a lot of things that are going on there that makes it difficult to play.
The pillar in the middle.
The pillar in the middle, not to mention the ceiling and the lighting.
Right, the lighting's something else.
And this is no knock on Honey. It's just a challenging place to perform, which makes when the performances are amazing, and I'm thinking of like the Second Wave Feminist Nightmare Enclave did a fuck of an amazing show.
Yeah,
they're one of the best I've ever seen.
Yes.
And so when they bring it, when a group brings it, they bring it.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, that show was... That was an out of control show.
It was
fantastic. Yeah, it's when you have a good show at Honey, for me it feels like you conquered something.
Yes,
it's there's just that extra, I don't know, that added difficulty level just being in that venue. Mm-hmm. And I was actually talking to somebody a couple days ago about this. I don't feel like I've had a good show there in 6 months for whatever reason. Mm. It just hasn't felt like they've come together. No knock on anybody I've been playing with. Sure. It's just when I get done, God, why didn't that feel like it worked? And it's just, for me personally, it's because I think it's that feeling of just not really bringing it right away, trying to feel things out, where that doesn't feel like a venue you can feel things out. You just have to understand that it's a hard place and you just need to take ownership right away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then it does make you appreciate places like Huge, which has really been set up for the artist, or Brave New Workshop. Those stages are set up for the artist to be the focal point.
Yes.
And for the artist to succeed and not have to worry about anything else.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. This is, well, the funny thing about this venue is it's not an improv venue.
No, it's not.
It's a place where you put a DJ in the corner and they have people come and show up at 10 p.m. in their pajamas and and have Britney Spears go, which is actually what happened one time after a show. That was the 10 o'clock show. That's what it's for. Mm-hmm. And so when you have that kind of, when you're trying to do theater up there, it's this whole new challenge. I mean, even as a music venue, I saw School for Girls there, and they fought through it. I mean, they were able to, maybe because it's music and it's a different thing for them, but it's just a different kind of place.
Sure.
Yeah.
So when you started this show, you started it with the intent of getting more stage time for yourself.
Yeah.
But obviously you couldn't do this by yourself. You couldn't just play, a 2-3 hour show by yourself.
Yeah.
Did you always have it in mind that you were opening up a new venue for people? Or was this just purely like, I'm going to do something and we'll figure it out down the road?
Yeah, it was totally... kind of, let's see what happens as we go along here.
Sure.
The first show... It was just to do something, just to play and see what happens. And then John, again, the director, our email friend, he liked what he saw, and we just kept it going. And every month, it would just be an email month by month. Hey, should we do a show this month? Should we do another one? What day should we do it? And so we never did a real set thing, even though it was... that insinuation. Like, oh, yeah, you're going to have a show. When is it going to be? We never knew. And so we just did it. And I wouldn't book it until about a week or two before because I just wasn't sure. And then about a year in, I just had to realize, you know, this is going to be a regular thing.
Sure.
And now we're...
So it took a year.
It took quite a while.
To get comfortable with it.
Yeah, to the idea of having a show. Mm-hmm. And so now that we're coming up on 2 years, for the first time about 4 months ago, we actually booked out for 6 months for dates. Because then I said, oh, you know what? Now I have to do this.
Yeah.
And part of, there were a couple of reasons for that. For me, one, it was just, it was a pain not to have everything booked.
Right.
And I was getting these weird dates and I was clashing with other things I didn't want to clash with. Mm-hmm. I felt kind of bad about that sometimes where you see there's another great show going on and I'm having on the same night and I don't want to steal from each other. And I came to realize, of course, there's always something. You can't avoid it.
Right.
So you just do what you can. The other thing was I wanted to have things booked. I wanted to be able to say to people, hey, you want to play 3 months down the road? And it made it easier for me.
Mm-hmm.
That rather than having all these last second things where all of a sudden people were just busy and I was scrambling for anything. Not that I was scraping the bottom of the barrel or anything, because that's actually pretty much every show I've had, I feel like has been a great lineup.
Yeah.
And everybody's been fantastic. I was just... I'm amazed that people want to perform it still. And I don't know why that is, but I just love the fact that people still just are so excited to play, or that people email me and say, can I play this show? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, really? You want to play? Okay, yeah, of course. And it's always great that people still want to do it. Of course, we're all stage whores.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. So
everybody wants more stage.
We all are. You know, obviously I play at every show. So I'm the biggest whore. So
yeah, but you do produce it.
Right.
And so from the production side of things, I think that a lot of people would be interested in this. How hard is it to produce a show? And and how much of the production onus do you take on, and how much does John take on?
Well, I do. I would say I do probably 80%, 80 to 90. I mean, he does put an ad in the weeklies, upcoming shows. Not a whole lot. I do most of the work, but honestly, I would say this. I mean, for what I do, isn't that hard anymore. It was hard before because I think I was a little bit shy about asking people. No, they're not going to do it. No, they're not going to do it. Why would they do it? And then I found out everybody wants to play, and that's great.
Right.
So it was easier. And the people wouldn't do it if they had. The only times I ever got a no is if they just a conflict. But people would most of the time say yes. So it's not hard to put on the show. My biggest weakness that I'm finding more and more is the marketing. I am not a good marketer. And so if anybody wants to help market the show, please contact me. But I know it's not my strong point. I'm terrible with anything graphic design. Mm-hmm. I've proven that in the past. And I've had people nice enough who've done some nice posters. Mm-hmm. I don't go out and do the grunt work, which I need to do. And I just don't. I don't have a good explanation why I don't. And the funny thing is, I can't tell how many people are ever going to come. A lot of it's on me for people not coming. I need to do a better job than say, hey, Facebook invite, let's go. And that's about all I do. Instead of saying,
are you saying evites don't work?
No, nah, you know. Well, you know, if anything, they're very misleading.
Yeah.
Because you send out the invite, 55 people are coming. No, they're not. There's no, you know, nobody's coming. You know, last show, I think we had, it was interesting. I've had shows where you have, 10 people say they're coming, and then all of a sudden it's 35.
Right.
And I've had the same thing with 50 people say they're coming, and 6 come.
Yeah.
I have no gauge on who's coming. So, which is fine. It makes it interesting. You play the show no matter what. You play the same if it's 1 or 100.
Yep.
But my marketing skills are lacking, which is sad because I have my MBA in marketing, and it's sheer laziness. It really is. The other thing, it's in Northeast. It's a whole untapped market, really, in Northeast. Why am I not?
Well, it's such a cool area.
It's so great.
And Honey's around a lot of really cool places. Like, you could even get walking.
Yeah.
Sorry, Matt, not to pile on.
No, it's true. No, it's true. It's laziness. It could be.
What do I know? I don't have an MBA.
No,
not in marketing.
So, it's me being lazy. It's really what it is.
Do groups get, I honestly don't remember. Do groups get paid at Honey or no? I don't remember.
This is a great venue for that. I know there's a lot of venues that don't pay, or they pay strange things. Right. You get this much of the door, or you have to make this much before you get anything.
Right. We donated that time.
You did. That was a benefit. Mm-hmm. So but they do. What happens is we get all the door. Mm-hmm. And so then I split it among the groups.
Door? The whole door. Really?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's my marketing plan usually. I say, guys, we get paid. Bring people, because then you'll get paid. You know, yeah. And the more you bring, the more you get paid. And so that doesn't seem to motivate anybody. but there is something when 40 people show up and I get to split $200 among four groups.
Yeah,
that's kind great. Of awesome. Because I honestly, my goal isn't to keep a lot of it. I don't care. Andy Katzung is always nice enough to do the photos every show. So I want to make sure to pay him something.
His photos are phenomenal.
They're great, especially for that.
Yeah.
The lighting's terrible. It's terrible. He says when he takes pictures that there's a strobe that we don't see with the human eye, but the camera picks it up. So there's all these weird effects.
Really?
So, yeah. Yeah. What? It's a strange strobe effect that we don't see.
Maybe that's why John's so cool with it, because he's actually hypnotizing everybody.
That could be. So it's so weird.
Buy our patty melt.
It's very good. By the way, it's really good. So he does that, and then I try to have somebody back on the board, sure, who's basically the blackout guy, because we don't bring any music or anything. We don't do anything spectacular. It's like punk rock. It's a punk rock venue. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I try to pay them and then the performers. And I really don't really try to keep much for myself, except for if I perform.
Do you see the shows at Honey expand? Do you have a vision for where it's going to go, or do you like it the way it is and it's just going to stay this way? Mm-hmm. And I guess second part of the question, you've been a part of or have been to a couple of the other indie shows, mm-hmm, around town.
Yeah.
Have you seen anything that's been done there that you've been like, oh, I should fucking do this over at Honey. Or I'd like to if we were able to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. You know, it's as far as plans, I don't have anything right now.
Sure.
I think Honey's pretty good. Right now, there's so many shows going on. Mm-hmm. My job right now is to make Monsters better.
Sure.
And I need to do that. That's something that I've set a goal for myself to say, hey, this needs to be better than it is. It's a great show, but it can always be better. But there's so many shows coming. Mine's a pretty much a straight improv show, four groups, mm-hmm, you know, 2 hours. It's really just quick and that's it. Nothing, no frills. Mm-hmm. And
well, you got the closer, which no one else does.
Oh, right? The jam. Yeah, the jam. We do the jam.
Which I really like.
When we have time. Talk about when we have time. Yeah, but we'll do the jam. Yeah, the jam is cool. It's at the end of the show, anybody who's playing that night comes on stage and we all get to play together for about 10 to 15 minutes. Yeah. And I've been told it's a favorite part of the show. So if we have time to do it, we will. Or it depends on how many performers are there too. So like we've had snack time there and other groups, and we just can't fit 18 people on stage. So, you know, it's
all right, give us three of you guys.
Yeah, exactly. So we definitely try. But yeah, it's a really fun part of the show. What I'm seeing out there on the other indie shows, it's fantastic what's going on. Transvaginal Mesh just started, they're putting together a show, and it's honestly it's on the same night as Monsters, which, you know, I'm glad they're doing it. And it was funny, I talked to Sally Foster, who's in that group, and she felt bad about it. I said, don't feel bad. You're doing a show. It's fantastic. Do what you got to do.
Rising tide raises all ships.
Exactly. Yes. And she's great. I'm really excited that they're doing the show. Mm-hmm. It's at a brewery.
Yeah, City Brewery.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it's called. I could not remember the name of it last night. So very, very cool. It's a new brewery, so I'm glad she's doing it. Also, Alex Colliard does tons of stuff. And
this interview, he's... I'm kind of stealing Molly's line.
You're totally stealing Molly's
joke. Shit.
Molly's steal it.
Credit to Molly Chase here, but... during this interview, Alex has created four new shows.
It's great that he's doing it. It's so great to see, because he's got so many shows. They're all very different.
Yes.
And he's doing more of almost a variety format.
Yes, Big Time Horse.
Yeah, Big Time Horse. Great, it's fantastic. And
It's great.
Yeah, it's great that he's doing it. I love that he's. Well, first of all, Alex is a ball of energy, and I mean, if you're around him,
he has partners with that one though. It's not just
Alex. Drew
Yanda.
A couple other
and a couple of stand-up guys. Yeah.
So I'm just glad to see all these shows. It's awesome to see. I hope they don't. I don't have any plans to steal from their ideas.
But I mean, or get inspired by it. So yeah. you said better, make it better. Do you have anything in your head that is like, this is how I want to make it better? Do you want MCs? Do you want like...
Yeah, it's... Well, first of all, I think it's just getting people there. The marketing idea, that's part of it. What's unique about my show? Because in a way, it really is just a straight improv show, just in a different venue.
Yeah, but there's no such thing as just a straight
improv show. Right, sure.
Especially when I mean, like you said, the lineups are typically spectacular.
Yeah. It's hard to get people there.
Yeah.
It's Northeast, and the parking around there isn't great.
Right.
And a lot of people don't want to go really far to see a show. It's not that far, but sometimes it's like, oh, Northeast.
Yeah.
I mean... Yeah, there's
directions. Two directions,
and it's barely it's barely in Northeast too.
Yeah,
it's barely in. You're across the Hennepin Street Bridge. It's like, oh, there you are.
Yeah,
it really is. Yeah, so it's more about what can I do as far as what can I do within the limitations of Honey, and could I add things like music? Could I add more? Maybe we could do more of the lights. Maybe they're just simple things like that. Otherwise, the best thing I can do is just keep putting on good shows. Mm-hmm. People will come.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
So that's what I'm trying to do. Again, it's more about me just doing the hard part.
Do you feel like? I mean, I feel like at this point, even though Honey is an indie show, it's like it's indie in the same way that Summit is still a microbrew.
Sure.
I mean, it's entrenched indie.
Yeah.
I mean, people know it; they count on it.
Yeah.
And it's not going away anytime soon. People understand that. When is it?
It's once a month.
Once a month.
Usually on Thursdays.
Usually,
that was the case of where we were getting kind of switched around a lot because we were doing everything last second.
Sure.
And I finally said, "Hey, can we just do Thursdays?
Because
it's easier." So we've been pretty consistent. But it gets switched around once in a while.
Sure.
Yeah.
But, I mean, people understand that it's once a month, typically on a Thursday.
Right.
You have to feel pretty proud of this at this point. The community has accepted this, and it clearly has been successful enough to be a two-year running show.
Right.
That is hard to do. Do you find time to enjoy it and feel proud of it?
Yeah. I am proud. I'm very proud of the show. It was something, again, when I started, it wasn't a plan for a long run show.
Right.
It was just something to tide me over until something else came up and huge. That's honestly what it was, because a huge at the time. And I think maybe it's still in a lot of improvisers' heads is that's the venue. Huge is the place to play.
I think it is in a lot of people's heads, but I think it's starting to move.
It is. It's the best.
Of course.
Huge is the best. Yeah, and you want to play on it. Anytime you get to play on it, you want to do it. And so that's the thing about Huge is like, no matter what, Huge is the home. It's the idea that we have these opportunities to go elsewhere and still have a thriving community. That's what, and when you think about, when I talked to Butch Roy, if you know Butch Roy,
Executive Director of Huge Theater.
Yeah.
Theater, 3037 in Southlandale, uptown Minneapolis.
Think about that I love about Butch is how much he's all about the community. No matter what, it's about the community. When I went to him and talked about Monsters of Improv, he was all for it.
And he's like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, yeah, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah, kick ass. And so there was this moment, and this is where I think I realized it was becoming a real thing, was when I got an email from Butch. Hey, how do I apply to get it to be on Monsters? And I'm like, I just wrote, fuck you. Just get on the show. Just when do you want to play? You know, that's, what are you talking about applying? That's probably about 3 or 4 months in where it's just like, oh, this is kind of a cool thing.
It's a thing.
Yeah. So there is that pride thing. And the thing is, Butch has done the show, I think, probably besides myself. He's done it so many times. And he's done it last second. I've called him up and said, can you do this? Absolutely. I'll be there.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Yes. So, and so it, yeah, there's something to that. And that's what I love about him, is just the fact that he goes, it's all about community for him. Whereas me, it was like, selfish reasons. I want to play. Screw you guys. Screw you, Hughes, for not letting me on stage right now. I'm getting my own show. That's a terrible thing. But at the same time, what I do like about Monsters, what it's become, is it's a part of the community now. Sure. And I like that. I love that people want to play it. That's a really great feeling for me. Uh-huh. When people contact me and say they want to play it. And right now, it's the funny thing is saying to people, I'm booked out for a few months.
Right.
I haven't had to do that ever. It was just, oh yeah, absolutely. Cool. Cause I didn't really want to book this month. So thank you for telling me you want to play. So, but now it's, oh yeah, September. Okay. Can you do it? And, it's a weird place to be in right now because it's different,
but a good place.
But a good place, a really good place.
Speaking of a place that is not good and nobody wants to be, now it's time for the show where I throw the microphone over to Philip Simondet for a brand new segment that we call Philip's Corner. It's Philip's Corner.
Oh. It's the part of the show where I drag you into my lonely world. Welcome to the sad corner that I make my home.
No.
You know how this works. It's a brand new segment. I'm going to stare at you. We're going to make awkward and uncomfortable eye contact. Mm-hmm. For you. For me, I am dead inside and I have no emotions to feel anymore. I will think of a question. You will answer it.
Okay.
Michael. Mm-hmm. Okay, so your name, Michael, is abbreviated to Mike, but would you ever topher it and go by, like, Cole? And what kind of person would Cole Dalival be?
I would do that for Facebook purposes, as to not be found.
What you got to hide, Cole?
I got a lot of things to hide, Philip, just like you do.
Lip.
Excuse me, lip. Lip debt.
So if you made a profile for Cole Dalival, mm-hmm. what would it look like? Like, what kind of, like, photos would he put up? What kind of font would he use?
I put my face in shadow.
Oh.
With a fedora. Perhaps.
Cole definitely kind has like, a fedora.
Yes, kind of a Carmen Sandiego look, if you will.
Oh, wide brim.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Man of mystery. I don't want anybody to know who I am. Except you. Lip debt.
Gross. Where in the world have you been? Where's the farthest you've been from Minnesota?
Budapest.
Oh.
I've been to Budapest.
Tell me about Budapest. I know nothing.
Budapest is my favorite city in the world. It is just a lovely old school Eastern European town with very stoic, lovely people. And I ate brain and tripe stew and bone marrow while I was there.
What animal are these from?
That I believe it was from the cow.
Okay.
Yeah. I believe. I don't know. I don't know what the difference between calf brain and pig brain would be. I just know brain and tripe. It was delicious, and it cost me only $17 altogether.
What?
Fascinating, right? I know. Budapest is wonderful. Did you know that Budapest is actually two cities? It's
no.
Buda and Pest.
I certainly did
they
not.
They toffered it?
And they did. They toffered. Boom.
I have a friend named Toffer. That's why I didn't say Topher.
Toffer. Oh, they say Toffer?
Yeah.
They took a weird thing and made it weirder?
Why would they do that?
He didn't do it. His parents did.
Ugh. I'm disgusted with people.
Then he continued to do it.
How long do you think I could rest my hand on your crotch above the pants before you got uncomfortable?
You know, I don't think I'd ever get uncomfortable.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Final question. I got to start. I got to reset. Michael.
Or Cull.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I'll ask Cull a question. Wait,
are you the alter ego right now?
Oh, no. Maybe. Yes.
Cull, if you could change Michael Dalival's life in some way, what would you do?
Oh, gosh. You know, I would tell Michael, hey, it's going to be all right, man. It's not that bad. Stop hurting yourself so badly. It's not that bad. Life is good.
life is good.
Oh, Cole is way more positive than I imagined.
Right?
And way more positive than Michael.
Yeah, way more. Michael's a horrible person. Sad, sad, self-loathing jackass.
All right, well, come just spend the rest of the time sitting in the corner with me with my hand resting gently on your crotch.
Sounds wonderful.
This has been Philip's Corner.
Can we stay there?
Shade down. All right, you up for doing some improv?
Oh, we're doing that now, huh? Next up,
bats! Well, I don't know if it's a mosquito bite or a spider bite.
Well, it looks infected.
That looks like it might be hepatitis.
Did you get...
On my arm? Did you
get your arm.
Did you get a tuberculosis test recently?
Ooh, you should probably get a tuberculosis
test. Well, no, because it looks like it is one of those tests and that lump that comes up if you have TB. Did you get a test? Oh,
well, no. I mean, I just woke up, unless I slept, got a TB test. But I just woke up with
you
it.
You would know. You are a nurse.
Yeah, you would know if you got a TB test. Unless...
Okay, well, I might have done it in my
you
sleep.
You are a heavy drinker.
Oh, you do drink heavily. You do drink heavily.
Yeah, I've got a lot of pain inside that I
need
to
go get a TB test?
I mean, not that I remember, but I don't remember a lot.
Yeah, do you want to talk about your pain? We can talk about your pain.
I kind of wanted to gloss over that.
Why? I know that there's tuberculosis, but there's a lot of pain, too.
I ignored that point for a reason.
Because is it about you? Is it about something you did?
I'm just much more concerned with the first thing that she had to say.
It's bigger. It's bigger than when I first... Look, it's like twice the size now.
But, you know, I really just want to know what's on the inside. I want to know.
I think that it's perhaps every time she talks about her pain manifests itself in the term in the way of boils.
I would think if she would talk about it, maybe some of that the boil would be automatically lanced by her releasing of the pain.
That's a possibility. Do you want to tell us about your earliest childhood memory?
Ooh, tell us about your earliest childhood memory. Ooh, that is boiling.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that I remember is my dad holding me, which...
It just burst right in my face.
My eye.
My only memory of him at all because he left shortly after.
Oh, it stinks. It stinks. This is just foul.
There's like five more that came up on your right arm.
What's going on with you? What is this?
And I say he left as a euphemism, meaning that he died. He actually killed himself. Itches.
We see that the boils are just spraying pus in Catherine's face.
My face is full of boil juice.
The note that he left said that he just didn't ever want to be a father, and now that he was, he didn't have any escape but suicide.
We see that Cynthia is actively losing weight and becoming quite thin.
He said that the moment that he held me in the arm that I remember was the moment that he realized he couldn't continue a life holding a child like this.
It's all over me. It's just all over.
Oh, of course, my father's suicide put my mother into a deep depression, and she was pretty much a vacant husk of a mother for my entire life.
Cynthia. With that last one, there were no boils that appeared.
I think I'm empty inside.
You know, you should probably get this checked out.
I don't know. She's the nurse. She could probably take care
of herself. You probably take care of yourself at this point.
How do you feel?
I can't find any vitals, you guys. Like, I literally feel like there's nothing inside of me anymore.
Do you want me to check your... no, you're right. There's nothing.
Put a hand mirror up to my mouth. I don't think I'm breathing.
Do you have something I can wash off? This juice?
Why is everything about you?
I'm sorry. I'm just covered in juice.
You should be happy to have helped your friend.
You're right.
There's no breath.
You guys, I think I'm dead. I get it. Your boat, your rules. I'm just excited to come along.
I'm glad you're willing to get naked.
I mean, yeah, sea rules.
Yeah.
Clothes are for civilization, and we're miles from civilization.
We're out on the high seas. This is where we let everything just hang on out. Let ourselves be free like men.
I've never been on a sea adventure.
You've never been on a sea adventure?
No.
Have you ever been naked before?
I mean, been naked in the shower, but that's no sea.
It can be a sea. If you let the water run long enough, it can be a sea of adventure. Sometimes I just let the water run for days and days and days, and I just sit in the shower and I sit there and think about myself floating above the earth in an ocean above the earth. That's what I meant.
But you have access to this great, great sailing vessel. Why would you just... Why would you imagine it when you can live it?
Have you ever sat in a shower for days at a time?
No, I can't say.
What's that. The longest shower you've ever had?
Like a 30 minutes.
How did it feel?
Like pruny at the end.
But think about how you felt. Was it just you looked pruny, but how did you feel inside?
Well, I was dead inside because the reason I took a long shower is that I was sitting there crying.
Oh no. Do you want to talk about that a bit?
I mean, when there's water running down your face, then you can pretend. You can pretend that you're not crying.
Boss, stop. There's boil juice all over my face.
Sometimes you just don't have the energy to stand anymore. You just sit in the shower. In the shower. You lay down, you put the plug down, you wish that the bathtub would fill far enough to drown you.
Gilbert, throw him overboard. Throw him overboard.
No, what? Don't touch me. I'm naked. Never tackle him. Don't touch a naked.
Hey guys, I was thinking that maybe we should decide to win a softball game or two.
Oh, I'd really like to have that feeling of winning for once in my life.
I'm glad that Jared's on board, but how about you, Derek?
Derek, get on board.
I'm on board.
No, Derek,
we just don't have the stats.
That patch you.
Derek.
You are such an advanced metrics guy. That's not what baseball is all about, softball.
We've only got right-handed pitchers, and they have left-handed batters galore. Derek, we're going down.
Derek does have a good point there. We only have right-handed pitchers. And
Derek, your jersey, the logo's a little bit loose. What's going on there? Here, let me... You have another team's logo on underneath there.
Derek!
That's true. I'm a spy.
You're a rec league softball spy?
Why would do that, Derek, you traitor?
We entered as a team that works for the same company. You work for our company.
I work for the company, but the company doesn't own me. Okay? I joined a side softball league.
You have a side piece?
Yeah.
Why? Why, Derek? Why a side piece? We're going to win a game eventually. We promise we'll win.
Not with stats like these.
Oh, the stats.
And look at this contract. Derek has to stay on our team.
Derek, follow the rules, Derek. You must follow the rules.
I am. I'm on this team, but my heart is elsewhere.
Derek, why are you such a traitor?
Derek.
What did we do to you?
It all started my very first day at the company.
Well, hey, Derek. My name's John.
Hi, John. I'm Derek. I'm new today.
You did what?
Why introduced myself?
That was very forward.
I thought that was what you do. That's a polite thing.
I remember that day, too. Hi, I'm Carl.
Well, hey, Carl. I'm John.
Oh, I get it too.
Wait, does that mean you're both turning traitor on me?
I guess it does.
You sons of bitches.
Well, maybe you need to think about your approach.
Wait a second. I remember something weird that day too. John, you're going to be amazing today. Yeah, John, in the mirror, you're also going to be amazing. I was so forward with myself.
It's abrasive. It's a form of assault.
I am going to turn traitor on myself.
Maybe that's the only move that we can do here.
Guys, let's team up and make sure that jerk never wins a damn thing. That jerk who is me.
It was you.
Yeah, it's you.
Right.
Hey, Joe, I like these pictures you took. I like them a lot.
Thanks, man.
I just said I never had anybody pose me like this. Thanks.
Yeah, well, I'm going for like a Greek thing.
I like what you did. I feel really strong. You make me feel strong.
I mean, you look strong to me, and that pose just accentuates it.
Hey.
I mean, you've been doing CrossFit, right, bro?
Yeah, of course I've been doing CrossFit. Is it obvious with my rock-hard abs and my chiseled chin?
It is in that formation. you look kind of schlubby in other formations, sure. But when I make you stand like the statue Michael, yeah, really accentuates all the good parts of you.
You know, I trust you. You're the artist here, and I trust you're going to make me look as good as possible.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've already taken two classes over at MCTC.
Well, it's obvious. It's obvious. I see your work. I remember I saw your old work, too.
I was going through a phase.
It was dark.
Yeah, I called that my blue period.
Your boob period. Everything was boobs, man.
Yeah.
Everything was boobs.
I was 13.
You didn't care either. You didn't care whose boobs it was. It's any boobs.
Hey, boobs are boobs.
My boobs.
God made them all.
Everybody's got boobs.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what the series that I did was trying to point out.
That everybody's got boobs?
Like, yeah, I had some pictures of some bodacious boobs in there. But you know what? I had some bro boobs. I had some baby boobs. I had some baboon boobs.
Do you know what's interesting is I had no idea that everybody had boobs until I saw your work. You were a visionary.
I look around, I see boobs everywhere. I mean, you got great boobs in that pose.
Well, it's your work. I can't take all the credit for it.
I don't understand. You can find beauty in anybody except for me. Your wife.
Babe, ever since you had that double mastectomy because of your breast cancer, it's like I can't even see you anymore. Okay? All right? I'm sorry.
That is just the worst thing you could ever say to another human being.
I only see boobs, babe.
I agree it's funny, students, but for the love of God, it's not that funny that I have to hit the ground every time I hear a loud noise. That's what PTSD is. It's
You're funny. Scarred from war.
Yeah. Boom! God! Boom! Sir! Okay, we're going to get through this English lesson today.
Okay, okay. Let me just clean off these erasers.
Okay. Oh, God! Damn it. Derek? Dickie? I am going to send you two to the principal's office.
Okay, he's got a bowl of candy on his desk.
Going to write up a referral.
Ah!
Jesus Christ.
Oh, this textbook sure is heavy. I hope I don't drop it.
I'm just going to write. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm just going to quickly write up this form. And then you will take it to the principal.
How many Charlies did you kill in Vietnam?
It's none of your business. Don't use the term Charlie.
How many women and children did you murder while you were there? When you close your eyes, whose death do you see?
Here's the form. Go see the principal.
Okay.
Okay, bye. Slam the door.
Principal Taylor, we were sent here by Mr. Hutchinson.
Sit down, boys.
Oh.
Okay.
Sit down. This is very serious. It looks as if you were intentionally scaring somebody else. That is bullying, young men.
He's just weak because he has PTSD, like you do. Yeah, well, your PTSD is triggered by water sounds. So if I were to take this bottle out of my backpack...
You don't want
to
do that, son.
Just swish around the water. Oh. Maybe have a drink.
Oh, he's turning red. He's turning red.
I cannot be held accountable for what I'm about to do, son.
I'm just going to flick some at you. Splish, 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 splish.
Oh, he's just turning. Oh, 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 oh.
Doctor, ever since that day in the principal's office, I've just had really bad PTSD.
Well, that makes sense.
His voice was similar to yours. It triggers me.
Did I mention that the principal and your teacher are my brothers?
No! It's a Clockwork George situation! Sorry, I missed your birthday.
You know, it's okay. It wasn't an important one. It was only my 30th.
I mean, they're all important.
No, they're not all.
And that's a round number. People care about the tens.
You can't say it's important if you're not going to show up. It's not important to you.
It's important to you, and I'm sorry.
It was important to me, and you weren't there. You decided to go what, for a little golf outing.
Sorry, I missed. Did I miss the belated happy birthday?
Yeah, you just missed it.
Yeah, you missed it.
I'm hey, Tom, I'm really sorry that I missed the belated happy birthday.
I mean, you say that, but if it was really important to you, you would have been here to wish Mark a belated happy birthday, to apologize for missing it.
Yeah. You know, it was really important to me. I tried to get here as soon as I possibly could.
Well, you didn't make it.
No, you're right. You're right. Finishing that last game of pool was more important to me than helping you wish a belated happy birthday.
Well, whatever's more important to you, obviously, my birthday.
It was the first time I've run a game of nine ball in like 6 years.
I actually understand because I finally got a chance to play at my favorite golf course. And that's why I missed Mark's.
Yeah. Wow.
I know. That's why I missed
Marksburg. Where was it?
St. Andrews.
Well, that makes a lot more sense then. Oh, well, you didn't tell me that. Well,
I mean.
Thank you. I'm going to go eat my cake in the corner over here.
What cake? There's cake?
It's cake.
For what?
It's a few days old. I had it on my birthday.
Oh, yeah. Leftover. Happy birthday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I could go for some Kool-Aid.
Oh, yeah, I'll see what I got.
Yeah, if you could get some Kool-Aid, that'd be great.
Competing lemonade stand, just 25 cents.
Now, lemonade for suckers.
We have all sorts of Kool-Aid flavors here.
Yeah, I got grape. Yeah. I got boysenberry. I've got...
Kool-Aids for bitches.
Look,
hey! Shut up, Tommy!
You shut up, Alec.
You know, Alec, I know some people that can, you know, take care of your problem over there if you need it.
I'm just going to call you Lick from now on.
You going to take that?
Yeah, girl.
You going to take that out?
Okay, that's the last straw. I'm not having that.
You know, we got people that can take care of people that call you names.
You got mob connections?
I got connections. Hey, can you get me some of that Purple Saurus Rex right there? I'm not going to have any of that old lemonade over there.
You know what for you? All the Purple Saurus. It's going to be the purplest drink I ever made.
He stirs his Kool-Aid with his arm. Look at how multicolored his arm is.
You stirred like a champion with your half an arm. How'd you lose that arm?
I don't like to talk about it because it triggers my PTSD.
Oh, no. No, we don't want that. Hey, here's a little $100 bill for your trouble.
My God.
Think about it.
I'm in. Do you need me to be like a money laundering front and then you'll take care of me?
I wasn't thinking about that, but that's a good idea.
Because I'll do it.
Well,
as long as you take my stupid stepbrother Tommy out of the equation, you can have everything you want.
Consider him gone. I'm going to slice his throat. I swear to God, I'm going to slice his throat. Is that okay with you?
It's whatever you have to do.
I'm just going to walk on over.
Alex, just what is this guy going to...
That's inventive.
It's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine.
You only say that every time you've crashed the car.
No, it's fine, guys. It's fine. Everything's fine.
Donald, will you do me a favor?
Sure, babe.
Will you look out on the front lawn?
Donald, it's fine. The car is fine. Everything's fine.
Well, the car is present.
Mm-hmm. Fine and
present
fine.
And accounted for.
Okay, well, it's fine. In that case, I'm very sorry, Haley. I didn't mean to.
It's parked on the lawn.
Oh no,
not on the driveway. Missed the driveway. But there.
It's fine. The car Haley, itself is fine.
You
car
know that you're fine. Supposed to park in the driveway, not on the lawn.
It's not about where it's
so
parked.
Everything's fine. Other than that,
it appears to be a traffic cone sticking out of one of the wheel wells.
Oh, it's wedged fine. Right it was in there. Just there. I just saw the parking cone. I aimed for it and it dragged along. It's
called
fine.
A parking cone, not it's a driving
fine.
Cone.
It's fine.
I didn't see any fine. Cracks in the windshield at
see?
First.
See?
Then I realized the window is completely missing from the windshield.
Oh, but you can see perfectly Haley? Out of it. It's totally fine.
What happened?
It just came out. Out. It's
okay. Well,
fine.
That happened. It's
there fine. Are no more bumpers, front or back.
I hit a few things along the way, but the car is fine. Itself is fine. It still runs. It's completely.
It appears to be running now.
It just sometimes turns on by itself. I don't know if it's supposed to do that, but it's fine.
Starting to smoke.
That's a thing. It's just now, that's something it does with
any. Haley, this sounds
it's
like
fine.
You ruined another vehicle.
Guys, it's just, it's a fine. It's just, the car is fine.
Everything's starting
fine.
To be
fine.
On fire now.
Look, the car was overdue for an oil change. We all know that, but the car's going to be fine. It'll run just
Haley,
fine.
It's brand new.
You guys, it's a fine vehicle. It's fine. Let's go get a new one tomorrow.
We should teach our daughter more safety about driving, don't you think?
That's the school's job.
So we're here on our camping trip, and I, for one, am very excited about having a guys' weekend.
This feels great.
I think
it feels
time.
Great to
it
get
is about
away.
Time, you guys.
Well, you know, we've been neighbors for what 5 years is when you moved in.
Yeah, it was last 5 years ago.
Yeah,
it's only been a few months for me, but you guys made me feel very welcome. So thank
well,
you,
Jimmy Mort. I'm so glad that you guys decided to come up here this weekend. And I know that you expected a cabin. The cabin's not finished, so we're going to be roughing it.
That's I trust you, Paul.
Whatever you do, Paul, we're in your hands.
Hey, you know, I appreciate it. I have been doing this for years and years and years. We're going to have some fun. So I think first thing we should do is go fishing.
I brought poles.
Nice.
I got a net.
You know, I haven't been fishing since my dad died. So this will be great. It'll be great.
Well, yeah. Feel good. You know, I haven't been fishing in since I was like 6 years old.
Why not?
Well, for a long time, I was afraid of water.
Oh,
just for sure. I get in a boat, really? Freak out. Yeah, it's just there's so much unknown water. A little bit. Yeah, I still get a little nervous in the water. You know, just okay. Like when I'm taking a bath. Sometimes,
hey, you know what, guys? We can just shore fish.
Yeah, we don't have to get in the boat.
No.
Well, there's still water going to be there looking at us, right?
Yeah, no, we'll just put on some wader boots and go in and do some bass fishing.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun.
All right. Okay. I just get nervous. I get totally a little nervous. Fun. I trust you, though. I trust you.
No, I'm excited that you guys are here. This is going to be so much fun, right?
I think it's going to be a blast.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good time.
Bonding time, right, Paul?
Yeah, you know, what, Mort, you got a tear coming. Did you just, what's going on?
Is that your picture of your dad on your shirt?
Well, this is the fishing vest that we made. We made matching fishing vests. We used to go fishing all the time. I don't wear mine anymore. I wear the one with his name and picture on it.
Is that blood? In his memory.
Oh, that? Yeah. Some of that's blood. I mean, all of it's blood.
Stab wound? What the hell? What happened to your dad?
Oh, he passed five years ago. Right before I moved here, actually. I just had to fresh start it, you know?
Sure.
New city, new everything. Sure,
no, okay.
Yeah, I needed a fresh start, too. My old job was a killer. It was a killer. I was in law. And just every day was just rough. I'd go out and I just felt like I wasn't defending the right people. And I decided, you know, I need to go a new place. I'm moving to Portland, where it's kind of a new time for me. New time.
Where'd you move from?
I moved here from Austin, Texas.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, it's rough down there. Yeah. You know, they just carry their guns around anywhere. It's kind of a nasty place.
Yeah.
But God, I can only imagine with my dad still being alive. That feels kind of good right now. It's got to be rough for you.
Yeah.
Is that your dad's finger on your hat?
He had this trick he would do for baiting the hook. That it just this one finger move that he did that I thought was magical. So when he died, I had them embalm the finger extra.
Oh, sure.
So now
I think that's sweet.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Hey, guys, let's just head down to the water and throw some lines in, shall we?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
See, now this is the life, right?
I'm going to admit, I'm a little nervous. I'm a little nervous being here.
Oh, you're going to be fine.
I like the boots.
Yeah,
the boots feel good.
Aren't the boots good? Like, you're standing in water but not getting wet? That's good, right?
Like, you just feel so safe with the boots, the rubber. Like, if you had a full suit, nothing could get on you. No blood, right. No anything.
Right, nothing.
Yeah.
You'd be totally safe from contamination. No evidence.
Huh.
Right? Just such a feeling. Like, my feet feel so safe right now.
I used to have to deal with a lot of people that would try to cover up their tracks when I was a law guy in Austin.
Sure.
You know, I can only... It's
hey, where
tough.
Did your dad die, Mort?
Oh, back in my own old hometown, Austin, Texas.
Really? You're from Austin, too?
Yeah, I didn't want to say anything. Didn't want to bring up old memories, you know.
Well, new, fresh
start.
You know what I loved about Austin was the barbecue.
Oh,
the barbecue,
yeah.
Right? That's some good stuff. Have you ever go to Salt Lick?
Oh, my dad took me to Salt Lick.
Yeah, I've not even been there. I've only been to Austin once.
Really? You were there.
I was there about 5 years ago.
Really? What?
Yeah.
They've got their own unique sauce. Oh, my dad died. I took part of his arm and I barbecued it up and I put some of that Salt Lick sauce on it.
Wait, what?
Wait, whoa.
Did you just say you barbecued your dad?
Just in his memory.
Oh, so you mean like metaphorically, you barbecued with your dad.
Just wanted
or like
to
ritually.
Know.
Was it ritually or metaphorically?
You are what you eat, and now my dad is a part of me forever.
Oh, God. It's
so good to have him with me. Here, I'm going to bait with my dad's finger. See, look, he's got the magic touch. This finger was the touch, you guys.
Oh,
was your
Mort?
Was your dad Mervin? Mervin Skadoodle?
Yeah, from Austin, Texas.
Oh, I remember that. That happened when I was down there.
You know, a man went to the chair for his murder.
Yeah. Yeah, justice.
All right.
Thank God it's blind, right?
Right. So, you guys look tired.
Oh, having a new baby is exactly the way they say it's going to be.
Yeah.
Right, babe? I don't think I've gotten 3 straight hours of sleep for the whole month.
Yeah.
We see that the woman that Derek is talking to is actually dead.
Right, babe? She is just exhausted. I mean,
she looks tired. I mean, it can't be easy.
She is wiped out. This baby took everything out of her. Oh man.
I mean, you look completely exhausted. I mean, you look almost dead.
You know, well, here's the thing: is
Sergeant
middle of the
Mulcahy has not looked once at the dead woman to notice that she's dead.
Well, I'm trying to give her, you know, she held the baby for 9 months, and so I'm trying to take my part. So baby starts crying in the middle of the night.
Sure.
I nudge the missus.
Sure, sure.
She doesn't stir. She just stays. I go, hey, you know what? You stay, babe.
I totally get it. Oh, I totally understand.
So I've been getting up, yeah.
Yeah, I have a baby at home myself, and you know, look at my wife. She's staying home with her, but she's got her own. She's having some trouble. She's having some trouble sleeping too. But she lets me just sleep through the night.
All day.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah,
my wife.
Really?
The baby though. The baby's all. But my wife, she's napping all day. She's always asleep.
Well, that's really nice of you to even let her sleep like this. I mean, you got it. That makes make you super tired.
Oh, I'm exhausted. I am just, you know.
Anyway, you're parked in a handicap zone.
You can understand that I'm so just wrecked with this baby. Like,
I get it.
I just had to run out to the store real quick. Couldn't find. I just had to park. Like, you understand. Right?
Oh, you know, I went to Starbucks the other day, and I ordered and I caught my coffee. I never paid for it. I walked out the door. They had to yell at me as I was walking out the door. I mean, I was just,
they said,
what a horrible
stop thief police.
Yeah,
and
that's me. Oh, that's me. I'm the police.
Oh, man. Yeah, my brain's just you get exhausted. Your brain does funny things. You don't even know what's happening.
Hey, you know what? You know what? I'm going to let you off this time. I'm going to let you off. And you want to go for a ride in the car?
Yeah, babe, watch the baby. I'm going to go for a ride, okay? Silence means yes. Okay, bye, babe.
This is the darkest thing I've ever done. That's saying a lot.
This entire bat took place in Phillip's Corner.
Really yes, it did. Next up, bats!
And that's our show. Thank you to Mike Dalaval for joining us today.
Thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun.
And Mike, could you tell us what's coming up for Monsters of Improv, and also how people can find out more about what's going on with the Monsters of Improv show and what's going on at Honey?
Yeah, absolutely. You can find us on Facebook. You can just put in the search Monsters of Improv. Mm-hmm. We're the only ones, so come there. You can also just follow me. A lot of you probably do, and I'm definitely a whore for advertising for shows.
We're big in Kansas, so I bet you don't have a lot of Kansans.
No, not a lot of Kansans. Next, the Monsters of Improv show is going to be on June 11th, and we have a group called Church and State, which is Butch Roy and James Moore,
awesome.
Which I'm excited about.
Yeah.
We have Drew and Matt.
That's my group.
We also have the Painters with Philip.
That's my group.
Yep. Yes. And I will be improvising with a gentleman named James Satter, who won the huge Hangout auction.
Awesome.
And is paying for some reason to improvise with me, when really all you have to do is ask. That's all you got to do. So he is, but we, Huge Theater thanks him. So we're very excited to be doing that. And then the 2-year anniversary show will be on July 9th.
Nice.
And
sweet.
I have some special guests, and we'll have those in the next couple weeks.
Do you have anything set? Do you want to pimp that show?
I know I'm performing with with Becky Wilkinson Hauser.
Nice.
And we've reformed Rebuttal.
I was going to say you're no longer Rebuttal.
No, we're called Dollhouse now. Because Dalavel Hauser. Dollhouse. Oh. That was Nick Rindo's idea a long time ago, and we were like, why didn't we think of that immediately?
Yeah.
So, but we're going to be playing, and we'll have a couple surprises. It's
going
to be a good
show.
What
else is going on?
Yeah.
Sure. Awesome. Philip, what are you up to?
Well, the Painters are in that show at Monsters of Improv.
Yeah, redundancy. Go ahead.
This Saturday is the next local music scene show.
Yay.
We've got musical guest Midnight Notion, which is Bryce Kala.
Oh, yeah.
So that's this Saturday, the 13th at 10 p.m. over at Bright Lake Bowl. Mm-hmm. Matt and I are in a group on the Alzheimer's.
That's right.
Fundraiser day.
Alzheimer's.
I forgot.
Not Alzheimer's.
The Alzheimer's.
You have it all the time, you guys.
Yeah, that's true. It's called Emperor Penguin.
Oh, that's your group?
Yeah. It's Philip, myself, Casey Haig, Katie Vanelli, Pat Tracy, and Damian Johnson, and we're going to be doing Heralds.
That sounds amazing. I can't wait. I'm in that thing, too.
Yeah.
So I'm playing with Dilly Dally.
So nice. Yeah, it's gonna be fun. And I do have some shows coming up with Drew Kirsten.
Oh, yes.
Where on top of the Monsters of Improv show.
Redundancy.
And we will be playing the Bryant Lake Bowl show on the 12th, along with M4W, and it's their not their vaudeville show. It's what are they called?
It's like a variety,
variety
show.
It's a variety show. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. And then we'll and then I'm playing the show at the 21st, and then we're playing TCIF, Twin Cities Improv Festival, and then several more shows later in summer. Philip, how can people get a hold of us?
They can send us an email, nextatbatpodcast@gmail.com. Check us out on facebook.com/nextatbat, and find us on another amazing podcast on noisepicnic.com.
That's right. Go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, rate and review. Using your words makes your teachers happy. So tune in next week when we're going to have a brand new guest. And until then, as always, stay dark, improvisers.
My dad died.